Welcome to the Andy Staples Show, presented by Sling. I'm here with Ari Wasserman. We're in Vegas. We just watched Utah smash USC in a game that you actually predicted, though you didn't want to, because it means I don't owe you money.
Mm-hmm.
It means you're taking the scorpion shot.
And it means that we're going to In-N-Out on Monday, I guess, for dinner.
No, we're not. We're going to have a really nice dinner. We're just all going to maybe split it up.
No more lab
Yeah, you won't be using the proceeds from me. No, the seafood tower may still get ordered, but, but we're going to split this
up. You were going to get that anyway. You're right.
Well, you're right.
Okay, so what do we start with here? Do we start with USC and that, or is that like back burner stuff?
I'm about to write a column. We'll give you folks in the chat a preview of the column. If you're listening to this podcast form, you go read this. But I think Lincoln Riley is where Kirby Smart was after the 2019 SEC championship game, where, but kind of in the inverse. Kirby Smart had a great defense, but a philosophy that didn't necessarily help him have a great offense. He had to fix that. He had to go schematically, philosophically change to have an offense that was worthy of being on the field with his defense. Lincoln Riley needs to figure out how to have a defense that is worthy of being on the field with his offense, because that defense let them down. Caleb Williams was playing hurt, but still playing very well. The defense blew it for him.
You know, some of the reporters up here were talking about if Caleb Williams wouldn't have gotten hurt, if that would have been a different game. And I think maybe to a certain extent, but
they
I don't
still
think that USC would have won.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that was poor defensive performance.
It's time to stop having defenses that stink. Like, I don't know how else to say it.
And it's like, that's the thing that's like been, this is a Lincoln Riley hallmark. Like, I mean, in the, I mean, what are the stats that you said, the four worst defenses or whatever of the playoff era were all Oklahoma defenses? I mean, this isn't just like a one-off, one-year thing. Now, the thing that I would say is that fixing the Georgia offense after that season was probably a much shorter task than fixing the
Georgia had better players on offense. It was a matter of finding the right coach, and obviously Todd Monken was that guy. Like, now, they had to figure out the quarterback situation. And guys, I'm sorry about the volume. We're working on the mixer here, so hopefully you let us know in the chat if we ever figure out how to normalize it or equalize it. So hopefully Ari and I are not the same.
How am I sounding good now?
You sound loud. No, I was apparently 8 times louder than you. So
okay. Well,
I just think I have a more forceful opinion tonight.
Yeah, you probably do. But my opinion is that, like, if USC is going to go to the Big Ten, and USC wants to win national championships, and it's not going to the SEC, but it's going to the Big Ten now, which is, you know, morphing into that sort of thing. You got to be cutthroat.
Yep.
You got to make decisions about your coaching staff. You got to be more cutthroat when it comes to how you're going to acquire talent. Like, the point that you made in the press box, which I think is a really good one, was, you know, USC's offense is awesome, but the players that they had making most of the plays, Caleb Williams, Jordan Addison, these guys, Travis Dye before he got injured, were transfers.
Yeah.
So go get guys on the lines. Go get defensive backs like Bryson Shaw.
And you may have to make a change at defensive coordinator. Like,
yeah, you might have to.
Kirby Smart had to fire James Culley. It had to happen.
This also is year one at USC, but it's not year one of Alex Grinch.
Right.
I mean, he's been there. The same. Like, it's not like it's not rocket science.
These are the same teams as Oklahoma.
You know,
elite offense, not average defense, not okay,
terrible defenses. And it's not, it's like theatrical the way that that tight end that threw the DB on the ground on the way to the end zone, that happened twice.
Which was the worst? What, there was a 3rd and 20 that Utah scored on. I mean, that's the play that won them the game.
You know, and it's like
the game was over after that.
I was joking on Twitter too, Andy, like when it was 17-3, like, okay, Ohio State fans, we'll see you in the morning. We'll try again then or whatever. But like, if you go back and you watch the first play of the game, the whole, I mean, I would have picked up 11. I mean, I run a 9-second 40. I think I would have picked up 14
brutal.
Yards. I mean, like, there was nobody around until the second level.
You're right.
And just like on the first play of the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is just, and that's why I thought Utah would win. If you go back and listen to the podcast this week, you know, defenses like this get bitten. And, you know, like you said, Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield and all those, they were able to avoid it. But like this,
we had a guy on Twitter during the game come at you say, I think you're wrong about what you said on the podcast. USC would definitely be within 20 of Georgia. And I responded to him like, Georgia wouldn't even have to throw against USC.
Georgia,
they would never have to attempt to pass.
Why would they?
Yeah.
It was weird when Utah was starting to throw it. I mean, they got going a little bit in the second quarter. But, man, it's like in a world where you're trying to make it to the playoff, you're playing a Utah team that would be, what, the 4th or 5th best team in the SEC at best?
Well, lost to Florida this year. And Florida was 6-6.
Blown off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, and it's a tough pill to swallow because, like, I wanted that money, man. I want you to run me my money, you know?
Well, but Brandon in the chat has a great point. This game was so similar to OSU Michigan. It was crazy. Both teams out to a great start and fizzle out, get out tough. You're exact, and we talked about this in the press box. It felt the same way, where it felt like it was starting to turn, and then the team that's built to continue punching you in the mouth, it just starts rolling downhill on
you. Yeah, and it's like that, like you, like we said, Utah is like the best team of the Big Ten West right now.
Yes,
you know, and it's like the best team in the Big Ten West is a marginally worse version of what Michigan is now.
Can you imagine Lincoln Riley bringing this style of team? This good of an offense. Well, I'll give you this good of an offense, but this good of an offense and this bad of a defense to Madison to play Luke Fickle's Wisconsin in November in 2024.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. Now, it's a shame because they have the best talent maybe in the sport this year, you know, in Caleb Williams.
Right, and, the best singular player.
Best singular player, not best overall talent. Yeah. And it's like, here we are now, you know, backdoor. And I do think it is funny, like the parallels that got Ohio State in. The games were very similar. The way that Utah beat.
To answer some of your questions, Ohio State is in.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if people are debating that or not. And, you know, that's going to upset some people. Some people are tired of Ohio State. Some people don't think they deserve it. They don't. But that's the reality of this season. There's
one smashing clipboards tonight.
Yeah.
It's Kirby Smart.
Yeah, and I mean, like, again, I wrote a column on Tuesday saying that Georgia was the other loser of the Michigan-Ohio State game.
People really misunderstood
People
that.
Really got angry at me. You know, I'm a homer. I'm an asshole. Yeah. I get it. Whatever you have to say. But Georgia is playing a harder route now to the playoff as it stands than Michigan is. And they're the number one seed
to
the national title game. Michigan at number two, if they play presumably TCU as we sit here and record this, that's a much easier first round matchup than having to play Ohio State, regardless of what you think it is. Just from a talent standpoint, there's only one other team in the playoff that can match up with Georgia athletically, and that's Ohio State. Now, is Georgia going to beat Ohio State? I believe that they will, and I think it might be even handily. But if Ohio State gets healthy and they play really well.
That's the thing. There is a way. If Ohio State plays the perfect game, it has the talent to hang with Georgia.
That's the thing, like we were talking about before the game. If you took this USC team and you simulated 100 games against Georgia, how many? I think they would win zero.
They might win one if, like, the whole Georgia team gets into some bad shrimp the night before the game.
Yeah,
like, that's it.
If is it dinner the previous night part of the simulation? I think if you simulated an Ohio State-Georgia matchup 100 times, that Ohio State might
maybe
win 10? 20, 15? I don't know.
Maybe 10. 10?
It's better than zero.
Yeah, the raw materials are there, and that's the difference.
So it'll be interesting because that spread's going to be less than a touchdown when it opens. I'm sure it'll get bet up to like 7.5.
Well, it does. Okay, we are assuming a lot. And what have we learned the last few weeks? Assume nothing.
Yeah. Well, we don't know. Like the thing
about TCU loses to K-State?
Well, this is what I wrote after the game while you were down there doing really good reporting. I just wrote scenarios. So we have to go through all the scenarios. So right now, as we sit here at almost midnight Eastern time or past midnight.
It's almost 1 a.m. Eastern.
Number one, Georgia. Number two, Michigan. Number three, TCU. Number four, Ohio State. That's the updated
version. That's what it'll be.
So now we have to say, if TCU loses, are they still in?
I think it matters how they lose.
Yes, so that's it. So TCU loses a close game, they're four, right?
Or maybe three still.
Or maybe three still. So the question is, if TCU loses 59-0, which is a score that I picked very carefully.
That's where if you're Nick Saban, you go, excuse me, what?
And but that's the thing that I want to bring up, and I wrote in the column here, is that USC lost a game out here. The way that they lost matters, I think, because if they would have lost a one-score game or a three-point game with Caleb Williams' hamstring flared up, like, I think you could even make the case that USC is a better take than Alabama. I'm not sure that the committee would have done that, but USC is eliminated now because of what happened
there. Yeah.
So, like, Tennessee, I think, has a better resume in a head-to-head matchup with Alabama, but their best player's out.
Right.
So, like, the only other viable candidate right now is Alabama. So who do you take? A TCU team that's lost?
Kirby Smart is in Athens going, no, none of this. What? None
if
of this.
If we end up with a Ohio State, Michigan, Georgia, and Alabama playoff, why do we – like, people are going to be like, why do they play the games? But it's like, who's the other candidate?
That's actually probably the most entertaining playoff.
It is the most entertaining, but who
– Now, I want TCU to get in, but even if they're 12-1.
But if you're upset about that playoff
– But I don't know that they will. Depending on how,
I think that TCU is in really good shape.
Yeah,
I think they could lose
TCU's
by
gonna
10.
Win. I think they're going to win the game. I
wonder about the game is they know what happened here tonight. If that takes off a little edge, you know, like it's human nature.
I mean, that team has been through everything at this point. It's just a thought.
But let's just say TCU loses the game by 12 or 10.
Yeah.
So it's a reasonable loss.
They're still in it four.
They're still in four. But then what do they do with the seeding? Is Ohio State and Michigan playing in Fiesta Bowl?
Yes. play it again, run it back.
Do you think that the committee would do something to get that matchup?
No.
Diverted.
I don't.
So, like, we are a TCU loss away from Ohio State and Michigan playing in 2 weeks?
Yes.
Well, and imagine
the Buckeye message boards.
We're going to have a lot to talk about.
If you get a similar result the second time around.
Yeah, well, I feel bad for Michigan people if you get a different result.
I do, too.
That stinks.
Maybe...
But I guess
build a team that can beat them.
Like, my number one benchmark.
You want to be the best team in the country, you got to beat teams like that.
My number one benchmark for my anti-expansion of playoff discussion was that game matters.
Yeah.
And, like, now it doesn't. And it's like, you know. So, like, I will take an L there. But on the other hand,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I was going to say, they didn't expand it. This is four, and it's still going to do that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But the same thing, too. It's just like everybody's freaking out. It's like, oh, God, we might have an Alabama. I don't think Alabama's going to get in.
I don't think
they're not going to lose 59-0. But if Ohio State gets in, I think that is a very aggravating thing for a large portion of America, right? But there's nobody else to put
in. It's so funny. I saw an Ohio State beat writer tweet on Friday night. Where was this energy? The national media twisting themselves in knot. Where was this energy in 2017 when Alabama didn't win its division? Like, that's exactly what everyone said about Alabama in 2017. Won the title.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody said they didn't deserve it. And then they got in and won the title.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, deserving it and being a team that gets in are two different things. Yeah. And you know what? Once you get past the point where you're debating who should get in and you go into December and the field's been set, that stuff fades away.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody remembers any of that stuff. And it's just like, here's the field and what happens on that field when they play the Final Four.
Yeah.
But if you're upset that Ohio State's in, we can't find – there's one elite team right now, right? Georgia.
Right. Yeah.
And there's one semi-elite team in Michigan. And then everybody else is undeserving.
Right.
So if you can't fill out a four-team field with four teams – like, this isn't 19 where you had three teams that would win national championships every other year but that one year.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? And this is a nice warm-up for 2025. Teams that aren't – like, deserving is a concept that's out the window now.
I was actually trying to figure it out right as the game was ending. Utah and USC might have had to rematch in that new scenario.
Yeah, they might.
11 seed Utah against – although I don't know – well, actually, you couldn't rank – you have to rank Utah ahead of USC at that point.
Yeah.
So USC would have gotten sent on the road.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't have rematched. That's right, because Utah would definitely be ranked ahead of them.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, if you are –
it could have been 8-9 and they would have played. Yeah.
But if you're in a position where you think deserving is a prerequisite for winning a national title,
it's not.
Then the college football expansion is not for you.
Listen,
like, that's out the window.
All of this is designed to create an entertainment product. It's not about deserving. It's not about the quality of champion or anything like that.
But anybody who's upset about Ohio State making it, like, what is your solution to that? Who is it then? Who are you putting in then?
Well, there is no answer for that. They're just mad.
So you just be mad.
Yeah.
But, like, it's like you're not putting Alabama in. And if you were to put Alabama in, you'd get all the same comments of, well, Alabama doesn't.
Yeah.
So you
I
know
gotta,
what
I gotta tell
there
you
are two teams
you
down
know what
there.
Game I'm much more excited to see than Georgia USC
Georgia Ohio State
absolutely
yeah I'm excited too and you know what you know Georgia's gonna win they'll win
probably yeah
but it's gonna be a fun game to watch I think
and there is that chance like if Georgia played USC I would not even be concerned about that
well
chance
if the final
all.
Field here Andy is Georgia Ohio State playing each other
and Michigan
TCU. And TCU this will be the first time maybe in the history of the four-team field where you have two semifinal games with results that aren't going to be lopsided
maybe
or that aren't expected
that.
To be
right.
lopsided.
Yeah
if Georgia and USC were playing I would expect that final score to literally be 56-10
yeah
like I don't maybe more because Caleb is special but
more.
Like
yeah
you know and like here's the thing too we're gonna find out just how awesome Georgia is this year because Georgia doesn't have an Alabama win that
well,
they have to get through.
I'm sure
LSU
everybody will
down.
Chime in with the Missouri game at this point.
No, but I'm saying, like, we haven't – like, Georgia is dominant, and they're good, but are they better or worse than last year? I can't read it from here.
Douglas says, Ari, Georgia homer forgets LSU gave him his life.
What does that mean?
You built your career covering good Ohio State.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm a – tonight I was a USC homer, a Georgia homer, an Ohio State
USC
homer.
Homer.
Yeah.
Because I got mad because there are a lot of people on the Hellscape Bird app who were saying that Caleb Williams wasn't actually hurt, that he was just being dramatic. That's the stupidest thing ever. And apparently the broadcast missed that he was actually hurt.
The whole time?
Yeah. I thought it was his knee because he kept grabbing it. Turns out it was his hamstring.
But broadcasters didn't notice the whole game?
No, they kept talking about his pinky. Where he had a cut and he was bleeding.
How could you not notice? He couldn't move.
I don't know.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, the thing too is, like, let's pretend like I've never seen Ohio State. I never lived in Columbus. I never covered Ohio State. Given my mantra of how teams are built and what it takes to win at this level,
stars matter, dudes
there's
everywhere.
No other team that fits that build.
No.
And if Alabama had does. One loss, yeah. then Alabama and yeah. my, like, if Alabama wouldn't have lost to LSU.
Right. We were not even having this conversation.
It wouldn't even, Ohio State would be so out.
Yeah.
But they'd only be
praying for the 59 to nothing.
Now, I do think, and I wrote this in the piece that I just released, that it's not fair that Ohio State didn't get to play or didn't have to play today and didn't get exposed to a second loss. Like, that stinks because USC got penalized for making it. That's a real thing.
In the coming system that the Big Ten will be using in 2 years,
they will.
They would have had to play in the Big Ten championship.
They'll play them twice.
So
I think that might happen quite a bit in the future. Like, the idea of an Ohio State-Michigan rematch.
I don't know that it will.
Is this the first time in college football history that Ohio State and Michigan have played twice in the same year?
I would think
so. If they
we'll have to go back in the.
I don't know what happened in 1836.
Yeah, back in because sometimes they would play like home and homes in the 1800s. But no, I'm wondering.
But it could happen
every other
year.
USC's in there. Luke Fickell's in the Big Ten now. Penn State's recruiting well.
Yeah,
I'm not sure it's going to be the every year occurrence that we.
I think it could be predicting. Every 5 out of 10 years.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So like it's
5 out of every 10. I don't think so.
Half of the years.
I don't think so.
The way that I guess in the new world maybe not with all these new coaches.
Yeah.
But it would have been – how many times would it have been that way in the last 10? Probably half, right?
About that. No, well, not – because remember, Harbaugh wasn't there for all of it. So you got some Brady Hoke years that
is there seven?
They wouldn't have been there. So, but it is an interesting thought. And I don't have a problem with Ohio State being in there. I don't know – I really don't know why anybody would. They're a very good team with really good players. It will be a more fun game than you would have gotten from Georgia and USC.
Like, yeah, more. These are the two best matchups as they stand as we record this going into the game.
Right. And again, we don't know if Georgia winds up playing. Who knows? Maybe LSU beats Georgia and knocks them off of seed line. Maybe
so that's the thing, too. We have to make it clear that Michigan's game and LSU and Georgia's game are meaningless tomorrow, other than for pride of winning conference. They're both already
in. For seeding, though.
But they're in. There's no way that either of those two teams are out.
It's for seeding.
But like, if Georgia were to lose to LSU somehow, what would they fall to?
Two.
So Michigan and Georgia would flop?
If TCU's 13-0, but it doesn't matter because remember the difference between 2 and 3 is jersey color.
Right.
So, yeah, it wouldn't. Georgia would go to that other bowl against probably TCU, and then Michigan would play Ohio State.
Is there anything that Michigan can do or Georgia can do to change the 1-2 without either of them losing? Michigan wins 46-10 and LSU.
And Georgia struggles? I can see that.
Georgia.
Because we talked about that after Michigan beat Ohio
State. The committee might
get
cute with that to avoid the matchup. Now, the one thing I will say is, if this were to somehow happen, if Ohio State beat Georgia somehow, and Michigan won, watching those two teams play in the national championship game would be
something. That would be something.
But these are things that are all on the table right now. Yeah. And you know what? You had a team down there that controls its own destiny coming into the game, and they didn't do it. And you know what? I think that they were exposed for who they are.
They were exactly the team they showed us to be all season.
It's not like we saw anything that was uncharacteristic of what they were.
So I asked Lincoln Riley after the game. I said, does something need to change philosophically or schematically so that you can put as good a defense on the field as you put offenses on the field? And he didn't even touch it. He just went into, here's what we did wrong in the game, blah, blah, blah.
Well, let's get back into that for a minute. I know we don't want to go for 3 hours, but what is the steps then? For you, like for them to do that, is
you're
it recruiting? Is it portal? Is it
both
coaching?
Okay, it's personnel and coaching.
It's a love it or list it type situation.
Yeah, it's philosophy first.
Philosophy first.
And when I say philosophy, I don't necessarily mean scheme. I mean, how do you practice? How much do you hit? How much do you tackle? They need to be tackling as much as Georgia tackles in practice. They need to go do some best practices research. Go find out what Georgia does. Go find out what Alabama does. Go find out what Michigan does.
Yeah.
And do that.
Toughness, right?
Yeah.
Is it a toughness thing?
I mean, that maybe go find out Utah's defense isn't that great either, but
they
at least not this year, but they'll hit you. But Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, right now, those are the teams that play that style of defense.
Go figure out I almost fell right into this camera.
That would have been funny.
That would have been great. Yeah, those teams also have better players than them on defense. Their defense,
but they can get better players. It's USC. They can get better players. I'm not worried about that. That part will take care of itself, I think.
Yeah.
So
I think, yeah, I think
so. That
they just don't have as much options with the big fellas.
It's not
as
easy as fire Alex Grinch and hire a different DC. Lincoln Riley has to decide what he wants to be as a football program. Does he want to have this incredible, flashy offense that can't win a game when maybe a quarterback gets hurt because their defense will always let them down? Does he want to have a team that gets smoked by truly elite teams because they don't have a defense that can play against an elite offense?
Yeah, and this is a question that's existed for him for years.
This is every team he's ever
had. And now that you're at a new place, it seems new, but it's not a new issue. And you have to look yourself in the mirror if you're Lincoln Riley and go, what do I need to do? Because this isn't
working. And this is why you can't blame it on being new here. Like, because Oklahoma was exactly the same way. Whereas,
well, how many people on his staff were Oklahoma staff this year?
Well, the defensive.
The entire defensive staff for the DC,
and
right?
And the other thing is, I would have accepted early in Oklahoma him saying, well, I got saddled with Mike Stoops as the DC because that's when Bob stepped down at a time when I couldn't make staff changes. Because remember, Bob stepped down in June of 2017. So, like, you couldn't change anything for 2017. You probably should have changed something for 2018. He ended up making that change after the Texas game. But that's the thing. But, again, it doesn't matter who you have in that role if the head coach does not decide he wants to philosophically be a tough football team.
Yep. Yeah. It's like that seems like the most easy layup that you would have
it's
to
not
do,
easy,
but it's
though.
Not
it's
easy.
It's not easy to practice that way and still have everybody be healthy. It's actually a pretty
so
tough
it goes down
thread.
from defensive coordinator to strength coach to personnel to attitude. I mean, it's like a four prong.
It's a philosophy question. That's why I asked it. Now, Billy Witz from the New York Times asked the next question, and I think Lincoln Riley took it differently than it was intended. Billy's question, and Billy maybe didn't phrase it exactly the way he wanted to, but he goes, yeah, you guys tackling. Do you practice that? And then he goes, or do you practice trying to force turnovers? And what he was trying to ask, you could tell, was, do you prioritize trying to create turnovers over trying to get the guy on the ground?
Yeah.
And Lincoln goes, I'm not even going to dignify that with a response. I think if the question had been asked in that way,
yeah,
it's something Lincoln actually probably would have thought about and answered. But he what he heard was, do you even practice tackling? Which, I mean, I think there were probably some fans asking that question during the game.
I think I saw they had like 25 missed tackles in this game or something like that.
It was brutal.
It was like it was every play.
The third and 20 touchdown was brutal. And then when the tight end just tossed the guy at the 10-yard line, how does
that
tackle not get made?
No, that was just like, all right, well, maybe
that was a
when that happened, it was
grown ass man play.
The Happy Gilmore scene. Better luck next year.
Yeah, that was a grown ass man play.
Yeah. So, wow, what a day.
Well, all right,
dude, I feel like we just got here, and like tomorrow, I think it's gonna be crazy.
It's gonna be great.
I think.
Wait, before we do this, before we get into tomorrow, let's. I want to do this now because we're 23 minutes into this and we haven't done this right.
Yeah.
Kyle Whittingham's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Kyle Whittingham has done an incredible job. He took Utah, and he won Utah's golden ticket. Urban Meyer certainly helped. You know, Urban Meyer was the first one to coach a BCS buster, and Utah got into the Fiesta Bowl. But then Kyle Whittingham took over and never looked back. He got them into the Pac-12. He created a program that not only could be in the Pac-12 and compete in the Pac-12, but could win the Pac-12. They've won it 2 years in a row. He deserves a ton of credit. These Utah players deserve a ton of credit because they could have cashed this thing out. There was a time it didn't look like they were going to be in this game.
The winner of the conference is not leaving.
No, they are not.
And like I turned over to Antonio during the game. I was like, it kind of stinks that USC is going to the Big Ten, like from a fan consumption standpoint, because
it
would have been
super weird.
It is weird to have Oregon and USC in Utah and them just being like the flavor of the West Coast, you know.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see that as they're leaving, and you're seeing it in the Big 12 too, the teams that are bolting aren't the ones that are winning the conference.
Nope.
Right now.
Nope.
So you still have teams that can be tentpoles of these conferences as they try to navigate into
that. And
future,
that's what we keep talking about, what Oregon and Washington will do when they are leading this conference. Utah is the best
team
in the conference.
Back to back champions.
Right now. Yeah.
It's hard to win your conference 2 years
so
in a row.
I just want to make sure we did give Kyle Whittingham and the Utes proper credit because they've been awesome. I think they're the big winners of realignment. Them and TCU. Who's done better?
Oh, I guess now that they have guaranteed playoff spots in the future, they can own conferences.
Absolutely.
When there are teams blocking. Yep. Yeah, no, I'm with you. I had to think about that for a second because I was like, it might be harder to get in if your conference is viewed as second citizens to the Big Two. But it's like, well, they have guaranteed spots for the conference winners. They're going to get in anyway.
Exactly.
So.
And you know, what would this game have been? What would that celebration have been like? Obviously, they were thrilled. They want to go to the Rose Bowl. But what would that celebration have been like if Utah had punched a ticket to the playoff tonight?
Yeah, I went back to look. I forgot they had three losses, not two.
Yeah, they lost to Florida.
That Florida loss was tough.
Yeah. And they lost to UCLA.
Yep.
And they lost to Oregon.
Yep. So, well, yeah, I mean, but hey, conference championships matter a lot. And
that's the thing people forget. And I realize, you know, we're pretty guilty of sort of.
We're literally the reason.
Yeah. But for the players, when they get to go on that stage and hoist that trophy, it's an incredibly special feeling for them. And that part's always going to matter. It really is. I know everybody thinks it's going to go away with the 12-team playoff. That part will still matter. Because here's the thing. For most players, for 99.9% of the players, whether there's a trophy on the line or not, all they care about is, are we going to win this game?
Yep.
They care because there's a ball and a scoreboard.
You get a ring for that.
Yeah. So congratulations to the
And Utah youth. Doesn't come into a season thinking it's going to win a national title. So, you know, maybe one day that'll change. Yeah. But, you know, they reach their goal and good for them. And, you know, it's kind of a gut check because sometimes we do think, or I think at least, like I made that bet. I put $1,000 out there thinking that they were just going to overhaul it and control that weak conference. And, you know, they're going to bring in Caleb Williams and Jordan Addison and flip the team like it was nothing in the portal era. You know, win the conference, go to the playoff. And, like, you know what? That overhaul you just mentioned,
yep.
That is a full blown house remodel.
Exactly.
Well, that's a painting.
That's the thing. That's why I'm gonna write this after we get done here. But it is a huge philosophy shift. It's not easy.
You're like knocking down walls in your house.
Doing what Kirby Smart has done at Georgia, or what Nick Saban's done at Alabama, or what Dabo Sweeney did at Clemson is hard. That's why not many people can do it.
And even if there's shortcuts now with the way you can assemble your roster, it's still hard.
Yeah.
It's mentality, it's coaching, it's program makeup, practice, all the things you said. And that's not something that you get in the portal. That's like hard work. That's elbow grease.
All right. So tomorrow, today on the East Coast,
I think TCU is going to lose. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I think they're going to lose.
I think they're going to win.
This is grab ass weekend. I think
I decided after the comebacks,
the so line,
the Oklahoma State comeback, the Kansas State comeback, the Texas Tech comeback. After the comebacks, I said, I'm riding TCU till the wheels fall off. TCU wins, TCU covers. You think they're going to lose?
The lines are moving at both underdogs.
We are going.
I think they're
going to
lose.
We are going to be at the Mandalay Bay Sportsbook. We're going to be doing live podcasts.
Come
there.
Through. Bring us lunch.
Yeah.
Or don't.
Watch us eat lunch. We'll probably order food anyway.
I haven't been to Mandalay Bay in like 7 years. So
I've
I'm excited.
I've never been to a Vegas sportsbook on a college football Saturday. So I'm excited.
I never have either.
Like. So this is going to be very interesting.
I never have either.
So thank you so much for staying up with us.
We appreciate all you guys. I think this might be is this a record for most consecutive watches?
It's up there.
It's up there. Ride with us. We appreciate you. Our audience is our lifeblood.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to say thank you.
Absolutely.
Hopefully we'll see as many of you tomorrow as possible.
And Ari has to do the scorpion shot
tomorrow night. And I
have to do the
scorpion
shot
tomorrow night.
Now, I will put this out to you guys, to the audience, and feel free to hit me up on Twitter.
This sucks. I lost $1,000 and the scorpion.
You didn't lose anything. You could still make that money.
I could taste it.
But do I do the scorpion shot for the sake of podcast solidarity, or do I just watch Ari suffer and laugh?
Or just do it and then make Ari not do it.
No, that's not an option.
This is the first time in the history of mankind that I've been right about a game and I'm paying a consequence.
Because you were wrong months ago.
Real kick in the knackers, bud, but we'll get through it. Okay.
All right, guys. I got to go write a column. Thanks so much for watching, listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.